The largest cartel in the world, which is the oil and gas industry, has so much political lobbying power.
There it is.
And so that's why we have to do it. Like, that's why it takes everyone standing up and fighting back. Yeah. It's a systemic issue. And so we have to use our collective power to drive systemic change.
What's going on, girl?
Oh, you know, I'm just stoked today for another epic episode.
So, you guys, today we're interviewing one of my best friends, Dr. Daniel Howard, and he and I go way back, and he was my roommate for, I don't know, maybe 5 years, and we always used to joke, we call him the mayor of Santa Barbara.
I can see why.
He had, like, long curly hair down to his butt, and he'd go to his sales job with flip-flops and board shorts every single day and just like bring new friends home. And now just to see what he's created, you know, like a decade later, in just having this huge mission to not just impact on a local level, but on a global level. He's done some really great work.
Yeah, he's got such a beautiful take on his work and how everything he does is framed around being for the highest good.
Yeah.
And the way he shares his mission in this podcast is super cool because he shares at a high level.
Yeah.
But then he also breaks it down for listeners and for us as students and trying to learn how to really do our part in the environment and simple ways we can be a part of the solution.
Totally. Because I don't know about you, but I feel like when it comes to this topic of environmental impact, it's always in my mind, but I'm always so confused about what to do next. Yeah. And I feel like that is the root of the problem, is there is so much information out there. And a lot of it that is campaign for big companies, you think you're making a big impact and you realize, it's not really doing that much. And so in this episode, you guys, if you're wanting to reduce your environmental footprint, Daniel breaks it down and he simplifies it so that you can take action today.
Yeah, and he also gets a little controversial. I mean, we also tap into some topics and we push up against some things that, you know, when we're talking about the environment, politics comes in.
Yep.
He actually brings in something that is extremely controversial that you'll probably either get
be really, on one of two sides for sure.
It's going to polarize some people. So we're excited to hear your feedback on this episode. Yeah. We're excited to see what you like about the Ascendment and the Soul Assignment, because they're really cool. And we'd love your feedback. We'd love for you to get on Instagram and share with us, you know, what you thought about this episode and what you're going to do. Or if you feel like there's more you can do, we'd like to hear about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And a really cool thing I have to note, since we are in season two, we have our first round of Street Team member. So Jen, what is a street team member?
Oh my gosh. I love our street team. They're such badasses.
They're badass babes.
They are. And I love that people have stepped up and said, you know, we want to support what you and Meg are doing. Yeah. We want to be part of this movement. We want to be part of these conversations. We want to share it with our friends and our family. And so lovely, lovely people have come in and said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to take action and share this podcast with people that I love and care about. And we want to acknowledge a few of our street team members today for stepping up and sharing the podcast with their friends and family.
Yeah. So Jamie Schable.
Elisa Ronan.
And Bethany Bagby.
Thank you so much for sharing this message and for being part of our community and our sisterhood. We love you all so much, and we appreciate everything you're doing to spread the message.
Yeah. So if you are wanting to learn how to become a street team member, go to soulascendpodcast.com. In addition to being featured on our podcast and getting your name dropped, you also have the opportunity
to be interviewed on the Soul Ascend podcast, as well as getting the opportunity to have discounts on and, you know, really good perks on some of our offerings.
Be the first to know of our woo-woo weekends.
Woo-woo witchery weekends.
Woo-woo witchery.
Our retreats, all of our courses and group programs that will really help you step into the highest version of yourself.
Don't forget to review and share.
See ya.
Welcome to the Soul Ascend podcast with your hosts, Meg and Jen.
We're going to help you mega manifest and generate your soul's highest ascension in business, relationships, spirituality, money, and health. Welcome, and let's dive in.
Daniel! Jen!
Here we are, Meg!
Oh my gosh, I have two very important people in this conversation today. I don't even know what to do with myself. Guys, okay, so this is really fun because y'all know that Jen and I like to talk about all the things, and we like to talk about hard topics. We like to talk about fun topics, and we also like to talk about topics that we need more support, yeah. I would say. And, you know, Dr. Daniel Howard, who is the CEO of Quantum Environmental Consultants, is doing such profound work. And it's so fun because Daniel and I go way back. We were roommates for what, 5 years? Was it?
Yeah. I mean, in Santa Barbara, a few different places.
Yeah. And he was there during a lot of the milestones in my life. And so it's just so beautiful, Daniel, to be with you here and to come around full circle, you know, amidst when we were both really broke, trying to figure it out as kids, and now, you know, seeing all of the just profound work that you're doing to help improve this planet and to bring awareness to just environmental issues that a lot of us are dealing with on a daily basis. We just don't know that we are. And a lot of us turn the cheek because we don't know what to do about it. And so that's really why Jen and I wanted to have you on, is to provide clarification and maybe even some simple action steps for our audience to be more conscious. And so could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and why did you get into this
work? I don't know. So I can't wait to hear this because you know this story and I don't know anything about your why. Like, what's your mission and why, Daniel?
When I like watch family video reruns when I was like 1 and 2 and 3, every time my dad asked me what I wanted to do, I would say, go to the beach. And so I think there was just this growing up in nature, there's this innate love for the environment. And as I got older and had different forms of conditioning in terms of what it meant to be successful and, you know, how you become worthy of a partner that you want. And a lot of that as a man is attached to how well you can provide. And so, yeah, your worthiness of partnership, and what's even underneath that sometimes is your worthiness of love, is connected to how much you can provide. So I think I just chose something that combines my passion for the environment with an ability to be viewed as a certain way in society and have a certain job and a certain income and all of that. And over time, I would say that the extrinsic motivation of money, title, way I'm viewed has really diminished, and the intrinsic motivation of being able to do something of really high impact for the world and to be able to do something that I love and I'm so excited about has really grown and has made it all worth it.
Yeah. So could you help us extract deeper? What is your mission with your company?
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready. Rolling up the sleeves.
mine are already up. Energy decisions are being made on multinational levels, national levels, city levels, corporate levels, and they're being made on just a fraction of the data. And what I mean is that they're being made just on the economic costs. And the environmental and health costs, which our research shows, and a lot of research shows, can be more than 10 times bigger, aren't being considered. So you're having these data-driven decisions being based on a fraction of the data that are leading to the wrong infrastructure being built and horrible air pollution, which takes millions of lives every year and is destroying the environment, causing an existential threat to humanity. But we're not able to consider these in our decision-making frameworks. Mm. And so what the mission of Quantum EC is to bring the triple bottom line to energy planning, finance, and development. And what that triple bottom line is it's a view into not just the economic costs, but also the environmental and health impact.
Mm, I love that. And that's this, when I think about environmental issues, I think about the word that's been thrown out there a lot, regenerative, you know, regenerative living. And I was talking to you before we popped on the podcast and I said, you know, I want to be a student here because I don't know, and I want to know. And I think, Daniel, our listeners right now are connecting with you and saying, I feel like this is so overwhelming that I can't make a difference, right? That me, myself, I can't make a difference. And if I could, taking on this task might be so big, it might feel overwhelming. And I think one of the things that I'd really love to speak into today is how our audience, the people that are listening that want to be a part of the solution, can get involved and what they can do on a very simple way or simple basis to make a difference.
Love it. And that is what my upcoming book is on. And so perfect topic. I'd say at a super high level, I would say it starts with one, setting the intention of wanting to make a difference, and then two, educating yourself on the best way to do it, and then three, doing it. So assuming we've all set the intention, and if you haven't, like, now's the perfect time to do it. We can move into the education piece, which is, there's so many sustainability issues going on, so many. But only one is an existential threat, and that's climate change.
Okay.
And there's only one thing causing climate change, which is greenhouse gas emissions. Mm-hmm. And 75% of those come from burning fossil fuels. Mm. So even if we didn't do anything else, if we just transitioned from fossil fuel energy, we'd be able to live on Earth long term. And yes, there would be a lot of other problems, but they would be manageable.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't stop burning fossil fuels, if we don't stop reducing these greenhouse gas emissions, even again, 75% from burning fossil fuels, and there's other things as well, they go up into the atmosphere and they hang out in the atmosphere. And long ray sunlight can pass through, but then when it's reflected back off the Earth as short ray, these little molecules absorb it. Mm. They absorb the heat. So it's like we're putting greenhouse gases, which are like blankets around the Earth, yeah, that are absorbing heat, and wow, it's causing an energy imbalance. And you can measure it. It's 0.6 watts. So imagine like a light bulb, like 1 watt. 0.6 watts for every square meter on this Earth is how much more energy the Earth is absorbing than it's releasing. And just like if you were absorbing more energy or more heat than you were releasing, you would warm until you reached a thermal equilibrium where you were releasing as much heat as you're absorbing. Mm. So that's what's happening in the Earth. And it's causing all sorts of, can I use cuss words on
that? No, are you fucking kidding me? You lived with me long enough to know the answer to that question.
It's so, so bad. So we've had on average 1.1 degrees of warming, and we're warming at 0.1 degrees per decade. So we could be at 1.5 degrees in the next 40 years, which the latest science is showing that we'd see a 90% extinction of all coral reefs around the world. But that's not what's being talked about. People say use reef safe sunscreen and like blah, 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 right? Yeah. Well, it's just like, yes, use reef safe sunscreen. Absolutely. But it's not going to make a difference if we don't look at these other things. Extending out further, if we hit 3 degrees of warming, the latest science predicts a 30% biodiversity extinction of all species.
Wow.
The latest science also shows that fires, if we don't change the course of greenhouse gas emissions, which continue to rise every year, wildfires could be 16 times worse by the end of the century. Imagine that, like 16 times as many wildfires, or each wildfire being 16 times as big.
I mean, it's already a huge issue.
Yeah. So
huge. Wow. And it leads to sea level rise. It leads to greater droughts, greater flooding, unbreathable air, the spread of infectious diseases. Every year, the perimeter of the malaria zone globally increases by 30 kilometers. It leads to geopolitical conflict. It leads to environmental system collapse with the ocean currents and the Gulf Stream and everything going on. It leads to decreased farming yields. Each degree of warming, they expect a 10% decrease in global farming yields. It leads to economic collapse eventually as well. And so I know that was kind of a lot, but again, to like to bring this all back around.
Yeah, I need to exhale, Daniel. Help me exhale.
Well, it's heavy. It's super fucking heavy, right?
But it's super heavy. It's important to talk about. Yeah. Nobody's talking about it because it's so heavy.
It is heavy. And when you talk about it like that, and when you look at the reality and the science, everyone seems to be turning cheek, right? They're turning away from it. And I'm not quite sure why. So if we can get simple solutions, Daniel, from someone like you, that if everyone decided to do one simple solution, I think that's where it doesn't get as heavy and it feels like, okay, I'm now a part of the solution. So the education, right? Now we know. So what is maybe a next step?
Well, and I think a lot of people like convenience too, which, you know, to answer your question, and then I'll let Daniel speak because he's the expert here. But from a personal standpoint and from what I've seen is I feel like people really like convenience. And because it seems so inconvenient for them, they're not willing to take the necessary steps to make a difference.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have big companies and all of that. So what can we do? What can Meg and Jen do to help combat this huge problem of greenhouse emissions?
Yeah. Great question. And I think another reason why people are not acting is that they're overwhelmed by information. I mean, there's so much marketing of buy this water bottle, buy these eco this, buy this eco that. And it's like, what actually moves the needle and what doesn't? And when you know that, there's this huge sigh of relief, right? Yeah. This huge sigh of relief, because then you know what to focus on. You know what matters. You know where to direct your energy. And so where is that? Well, again, right? You look at all the issues in our world, there's only one that's an existential threat, and that's climate change. And there's only one thing causing it, greenhouse gas emissions. 75% are released by burning fossil fuels. And when you look at all of the major successful energy transitions throughout history, whether it's nuclear in France, solar in Germany, biofuels in Brazil, they've all been based on effective policy. Mm. So voting for politicians that have committed, you know, at every level that have committed to energy and climate action plans is key. And now finally, as of January this year, it's the first time in history where policy in terms of all of these countries setting net zero emission targets, so zero net greenhouse gas emissions by either 2045 or 2050 or 2060 are being set. And in Europe, it's the first place where they're legally binding. And then you have financial markets following, where now the banks in Europe after this year aren't going to fund any new fossil fuel energy projects. And now the industry and the technology is aligning with that. And so voting is super, super key.
Yeah.
But your vote, it's only one vote, right? So like, what else can you do? It's talk about it. Like, talk about these issues with your friends. Like, talk about what's going on and the importance of us doing everything that we can to move to a clean energy future, to move to a net zero emissions economy. And so then the question goes, okay, like, how do we do that? What do we talk about? Mm-hmm. And what do we do? And the what do we do part is really knowing what moves the needle. And so for an average person, about a quarter in the US, about a quarter of your carbon footprint comes from electricity use, a quarter comes from transportation, a quarter comes from what you buy, and a quarter comes from what you eat. And so there's really simple ways to reduce your own emissions in all of those categories. And so again, to summarize, vote for politicians on every level, talk to your friends about the importance of making this transition and doing the things that matter, and then educate yourself on what are the actual things that matter, what actually moves the needle, and what's just in the noise that's using sustainability for profit. Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to create some freaking wealth witches?
Wealthy witches unite!
You guys, we are so excited to share with you this offer that is like nothing else.
You know, I'm really sick of hearing about all these ways you're supposed to scale your business and hustle hard and do all the things. And Meg, what we've created is a community of sisters that we're asking to just really tap in to their divine feminine. And we're going to show you how to get into your creative cauldron and brew up something super unique and special that will align with your values and take your business to the next level.
whatever you just said, I want all of that. Sign me up, Jen.
Let's go, Meg. Let's go.
You guys, this is our favorite program, and we're just glowing sharing it with you because the connection,
yeah,
the level of sisterhood, and the permission to be whoever the bleep you want to be in our community is here for it. We're here for it.
We are here for it. And we want you to be here for it too. We want to stand for you. We want to pull you forward. And we want to create a safe, sacred, nurturing space for you to learn, grow, and share so that you can fully ascend into the highest version of yourself.
No more hustle. No more working hard to multiply your revenue. We're going to actually tell you that you probably need to do less.
Yeah, it gets to be easy. And yeah, once you can tap into the flow, once you can tap into that creativity and align your business with your values, everything starts to work and abundance rains down.
So if you're ready to fly high with us on the wealth wagon with your woo-woo witches, we're here for it.
So what are we talking about?
Well,
boom, bam, baby. We're talking about the BAM Academy, the Business Academy for Manifestors. And you can find out all the juicy details at soulascendpodcast.com to grab your spot.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm even going to push on you a little bit more, Daniel, because if there's some people out there like me that I want someone to tell me what to do.
Okay. At a high level, reducing your footprint by a lot, it's like a lot of times it's the simplest, easiest things. Not always, but usually. So in the electricity area, the last time I was hiking in Haley, Idaho, and there was a sign that said, you know, vote for the Haley Community Choice Aggregator. And essentially what that is it's a company that generates electricity from 100% or close to clean energy sources and then sells it to the utility. And if you tell your utility, hey, I want to switch to this community choice aggregator, your utility bill goes up about 9%. Your electric utility bill goes up about 9% per month. But now you've transitioned that 25% of your carbon footprint to close to zero.
Wow.
Because you're getting it for clean energy, right? So let's say you have a family of four, your electricity bill is $100 a month. For $9 more, right, $225 per person, you can reduce everyone's footprint by 25%.
Wow.
Like there's no other investment even close to having that impact, right? Like you reduce a quarter of your impact for $2 a month, right? It's crazy, but it's not being talked about. And what is being talked about is like, oh, electricity is expensive here, like 9%, yeah, like I can't afford it, or like whatever it is. But like when you see it in the context of the big picture,
yeah,
and how much sense it makes.
So a question that I have, Daniel, is why do we have to do that? Shouldn't the companies and the city already be making these decisions, or is it just for profit and revenue? Like,
it's because the largest cartel in the world, which is the oil and gas industry, has so much political lobbying power.
Mm. There it is.
And so that's why we have to do it. Like, that's why it takes everyone standing up and fighting back.
Yeah.
The systemic issue. And so we have to use our collective power to drive systemic change.
I love that you use the word cartel. I think that using that word is so powerful right now. And I think that language is important. Like Megan and I always say how important language is. And I think if we can shift our thinking in the audience right now, thinking of feeding a cartel that's out for nothing but profit when we're not taking a stand and doing this $2 per month, I think that's a different frame, Daniel, that changes it a little bit. And I really like that. And I think that some of the languaging that you can bring in today will help our audience and listeners understand what's really going on that we don't get to see and that we might not have the time to see, but we want to understand. So thank you for using that word. I think that's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their mortgage, the oil and gas industry is putting all of our kids' futures at stake, and they're mortgaging our ecological biodiversity for short-term profit gains. And it's just disgusting. It's so incredibly evil and horrific.
Wow. So Jen and I made a pact to never get political. But you know, I told her when it comes to social and environmental justice, it's really important. Yeah. As to have a platform like this, I think it would be a disservice to the podcast to not bring light to these issues that can become political. And I know that you did work with the Biden campaign. Is that correct?
Yeah, we crowdfunded a project assessing the U.S. presidential candidates' energy policies. And we found that Biden's 90% clean energy plan would save $351 billion per year.
Wow.
When you take this triple bottom line.
Isn't it on your website, that whole rundown? Yeah, I think I was looking at that this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. And Meg, on the political note, I'm so glad you said that. Me as like this, you know, child of Mother Nature, I never really cared too much for politics. I mean, I remember being in college and, you know, walking around with a sign that said shave the bush because we didn't want to go to war with Iraq. But never really cared too much about it. And then after going and getting a PhD in energy and environmental engineering and studying this thing that I'm so passionate about and doing these projects and working at the EPA and all of these things, I just realized, wow, like the thing that's going to drive the change that I so badly want to see in the world is policy. Mm. And so once I had that realization, it was like I stopped resisting it.
Yeah. And
it's just understanding the forces that are driving and shaping the world that we live in. And
well, you're
using those for positive change.
Your force. I mean, let's talk about that. Like, this is something that I think is really important to talk about because, you know, you're a doctor, right? You're brilliant. You have dedicated your entire life to this cause, this mission. And missions cost money. Everybody knows that, right? They have to be funded. And I think it's a really great place for you to pick up here, Daniel, and kind of tell us a little bit about that entrepreneurial journey, because there's so much sacrifice in what you do for the greater good. And Megan and I are really big on this. Like, we're always about what's for the highest good. And so you're standing for the highest good. And in doing that, there are things that you personally, as a personal person being on this planet, are sacrificing to do that. So maybe you can share with the audience a little bit about your journey into entrepreneurship.
And I think you could trace it back to my parents raising me with a strong sense of self-worth and self-love and self-efficacy and gifting me a healthy psyche. And because of that, I didn't have too many issues going on internally, which really freed me up to focus on externally. And you have like these levels of resilience, right? Self and then family, community, and the world. And it's like, if you don't have a home and you don't, or you have internal issues that are working out, it's really hard to show up for those greater levels. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really grateful for my parents and how they raised me. And I'm a big support with all of this, of just like one of the most important things we can do is give parents tools to raise their children better. Anyways, fast forwarding. One of the biggest shifts started when we were living together in Santa Barbara, Megan. Being in grad school for 6 years, I mean, the first part wasn't that tough, but it gets really hard of like you're living on a grad student budget for 6 years. And especially once you hit 30 and like all your friends or most of your friends are making good money and like the things that they do cost money and like you're still trying to live on this budget, it's really difficult. And then after that, to then go and decide to start a company because you believe in the idea so much and you believe in yourself and you believe in the timing and that it just can't wait. And then not realizing how long it's going to take for that to start bringing in revenue. It's from a monetary standpoint, it's huge. From a personal growth standpoint, it's huge because every aspect of your progress or lack thereof is a direct reflection of how you're showing up and your self-limiting beliefs and what's going on. And everything there. And so I guess for me, it's been this, it's been just taking this huge risk, like this huge risk, like betting all of my savings. I don't want to say all of it, but a portion of the money that I, you know, saved and squirreled away over the years on this idea and on me, knowing that like, there's a chance it's going to go to zero. I mean, with most companies, what happens is it either goes to zero or it takes off and it's way more successful. And so, I think there's so much I could say around the commitment, around the risk, around the sacrifices, being able to wake up every day and do what you're most excited about is priceless. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you're going to do, I'd recommend being ruthlessly realistic about what that means for the short term in terms of paying rent, food on the table, family obligations, all of that. And then being relentlessly optimistic about what it can become in the long term.
Oh, that's so good.
Drop the mic. Boom.
I'm going to quote that.
Yeah, no, this is so good. And I'm so glad that this conversation is going this way because, you know, Jen and I firsthand can really resonate with everything that you're saying. And I think a big theme that I'm hearing right now is mission, is when you are so relentlessly tapped into your mission, you're going to figure it out and you're going to make sacrifices, whether it's couch surfing, whether it's, you know, for me, you know, I did that. I have a similar story of couch surfing, getting evicted from my apartment, trying to figure out how I was going to make rent, living off of a, you know, $30 a week budget or whatnot. And I feel like a lot of our listeners might know what that's like or be in it. And so thank you for sharing that, number one. And then thank you for showing us what's possible because you are so tapped into this mission that is greater than yourself. You're willing to do the hard things. And when we're willing to do the hard things, we're able over time, you know, able to receive plentiful what we put in. You're putting this amount of energy into it. And so my hope is that, you know, everything that you're doing, the book and just your advocacy for all that is going on right now is making the impact that is worth the sacrifice.
Well, right now we are raising $2.2 million to make a software as a service version of our Total View Energy model. And what that means is anyone can go to the website and start using it. And we're going to offer it to all ministries of energy worldwide for free so that they can get this total view of not just economic, but also environmental and health costs of these long-term energy plans that all countries, for the most part, are making right now. And then from there, we're going to expand into energy finance development and corporate ESG initiatives. So that's a huge part of it. And just making the software available to the world and having it be really user-friendly, intuitive, and practical way to get this triple bottom line view in energy planning and finance and development. So that's our main mission. And what can users do? If you know anyone that wants to fund something like that, please reach out to me. Meg, you'll put my contact info in the podcast.
Show notes. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I would say focus on what, you know, one, what's your mission and how can you, you know, add sustainability to it, even if it's just a small thing, right? It's eating people's psyches that this is important when you align your time and energy with it and focus on what you can do to help drive this movement. And so we've talked about setting the intention. We've talked about getting educated. And then, you know, there's the going out and doing it. And the going out and doing it, we talked, okay, there's these four categories, right? We talked about electricity. In transportation, it would be get a more fuel efficient vehicle, get an electric vehicle if you can afford one and it's practical, drive less. Taking less transatlantic flights is huge. For every round trip flight from New York to London, the solution is not stop doing everything you love. It's decarbonize the energy system so you can do everything you love with ultra low impact.
Oh, boom, that's it.
And the commodities section, right? Right now, we don't really know, like this shirt might say eco, but it might actually have a higher carbon footprint. Because anything, you know, it might be eco because the materials are eco, but those materials might take twice as much water to grow and they might be taking up farming land that could be using to grow food. Like it could actually be worse. So the solution with commodities is just buy what you love and what you need, and don't buy a bunch of other stuff that you don't. Don't buy the stuff you're maybe is about or the stuff that you like, but don't actually love and aren't going to, and then use it. You want to buy it and then use it for a long time. And then in the food section, the biggest thing is food waste, right? So try to really, really limit your food waste and then try to limit your red meat consumption. Every pound of red meat requires 4,000 to 6,000 liters of water to produce. And that's just the water impact because of all of the watering of the farmland and the grazing and everything that's involved. And red meat also has greenhouse gas emissions in different parts of the life cycle of it. And so, and there's one other area that's really big that I was going to bring up because you and Jen like to talk about the hard, controversial things.
Let's talk about it. Let's do it.
So it's super controversial, and I'm speaking strictly from a climate science emissions standpoint, but that is have less children. And when you look at all of the things that you can do, one of the highest ones is like highest impact ones is live carless, which I know is really hard. And that would save on average per person 3 tons of CO2 emissions per year.
Wow.
Having one less child saves 60. Tons.
Oh my God.
Carbon emissions. So having one less child will save the CO2 emissions per year as 20 people living carless. Like it's crazy. And wow. So that's another aspect that is highly controversial, right? But people should be informed of the impacts of the decisions that they're making.
I freaking love you pushed on that. I love that you pushed on that so much because this taps into like this goes up against a lot of religion. This goes up against a lot of stuff. So you saying that out loud is bold and I love it. I freaking love it.
You know, I think people might be a little bit polarized.
Totally.
From this topic. But, you know, I really believe, like I always say with this podcast, our mission is to talk about hard things. And the reason why, and this is just my opinion, the reason why a lot of people are fighting and suffering and there's a polarization that is very real, that is happening not just statewide, not just countrywide, it's global. There is a global polarization that's happening because we're not willing to have these conversations and be open-minded about the other side. I think that's really important. When we're not open-minded and we're not willing to talk about hard things is when we get closed off. And then we don't even want to have that conversation with the other side. It's like, okay, put a fence up, put a wall up. I'm done. I'm done with you. And Daniel, you've always been a rule breaker ever since I've known you, which is why I love you. And this is such a beautiful example of how you are breaking the rules for ultimately the highest good, for the highest good. And you're willing to make those sacrifices.
That's right.
You're willing to talk about hard things and enlighten people based on science, not just based on your opinion, but this is science. And
your opinion matters too. But yes, we love the science also. Yeah, for sure. And where I'd love to go now is we're going to spring something on you. Are you ready, Dr. Daniel?
He's game.
You game?
Yes.
Okay.
Very ready.
Okay. So Meg and I have this thing that we do at the end of our podcast. And the reason we do it is because we want our audience to feel really connected and we really want them to interact and take this information and put it to use. So we ask our guest to collaborate with us and co-create what we call an ascendment and a soul assignment. And the ascendment is like a mantra, a theme that they can take with them throughout their day, their week, to remind them of this emotion that might be coming up with this podcast. And then the soul assignment.
Yeah. And so we really want this podcast to not just be a podcast, but we want it to be interactive. We want people to be able to take the lessons that they're learning and the ascendments and implementing them and putting them into action. And so you've talked about so many great ways that we can be more environmentally conscious and reduce the carbon footprint. And so I would love to sum it down into a simple action step for our audience. So let's start with the ascendment. What would you say would be the mantra or the affirmation for this podcast episode?
It's not too late.
I like that because I feel like a lot of us can say that and use that as an excuse to not get into action.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. Okay, so it's not too late. And here's what I can do. So I'm listening. Daniel, what can I do today to make a difference?
One of the highest impact things that everyone can do is change the source of their electricity to come from clean sources. And so if there is a community choice aggregator, a CCA available in your area, switching to that will not only reduce your carbon footprint substantially up to 25%, but it will also support this movement and it will add economies of scale to it. And so doing some research on, are there community choice aggregators in your area? Are they active? Are they currently in progress? And what if they are active, switching over? And if they're not, what can you do to support it? Mm. And I was so happy when I saw that sign. What, do you remember that hike, Megan? Which hike was that?
Was it Quigley? Was it right in our backyard? Yeah, Quigley. Mm-hmm.
There was this sign up around, like, we want to have a community choice aggregator in Haley. Trying to gain momentum and get it approved. And so that is a super high impact and super low cost and super low time way of really making getting clean energy available.
I love it. So simple, so easy to do. All of us can do that today.
Yeah, that's definitely the soul assignment. I think that would be a great, like, I would love to see people step forward and commit to that on our Instagram and share with us if they found one or where they found it and how they found their CCA. I think that'd be a great interactive tool. I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did you love this episode? We love connecting with our audience and we want to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share. You can also follow us on Instagram at Soul Ascend Podcast.
And don't forget, when you write a 5-star review, screenshot it and send it to us at info@soulascendpodcast.com. And we will send you our top 10 manifestation hacks